I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with me. Thank you so much for rolling, especially through all the potholes and rough terrain that we had to traverse to make it here today with our listening ears and our sanity mostly intact. We are reading in the book club Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. It's been a wonderful road here with you so far. Thanks everybody for listening to me Babylon and Babylon about things large and small with my limited understanding. And I just appreciate everybody showing up, whether you're reading along in the book or just listening when you can, whether you're familiar with the material or not. You inspire me to come out here every week and stay accountable to educate myself and uplift everybody. So, if you're new to the show, you can catch up on things at In the Cab Radio and Linktree. We have archives all on that, and you can catch full shows with music on Mixcloud. All the links are there. Also, resources to this book, The Prophet. You can get ebook copies or just read along online. It's in public domain. It's published 101 years ago. It took Khalil Gibran and his editor 11 years to compile this book that is still very relevant today. And we go into the history of the prophet back in September, if you check out the archives. It's also on any podcast platform without music, In the Cab Radio. All right, I've dragged this out long enough. Let's just get to the poem, y'all. Let me get to the poem. And I'm going to tell people real quick, though. Al-Mustafa, he's been in exile. Sing along with me if you've heard this for the 15 times I've said it. Or now's a good time to go get yourself a cup of water, go to the bathroom. Al-Mustafa is in exile over in Orphalese, getting ready to go home. Sees a ship coming over the horizon. He's a sage. We don't know how old he is. We don't know how long he's been in Orphalese or why. We just know we enter the scene when this very thoughtful person is on his way back to his homeland after being basically an observant immigrant in the land of Orphalese. And on his way down, as he descended the hill, a sadness came upon him, and he thought in his heart, "How shall I go in peace and without sorrow? Nay, not without a wound in the spirit shall I leave this city. Long were the days of pain I have spent within its walls, and long were the nights of aloneness. And who can depart from his pain and his aloneness without regret? Too many fragments of the spirit have I scattered in these streets, and too many are the children of my longing that walk naked among these hills, and I cannot withdraw from them without a burden and an ache. It is not a garment I cast off this day, but a skin that I tear with my own hands." Now that's just him reflecting as he's leaving his hermitage and heading down to the seawall. That's from the first chapter, the first poem called The Coming of the Ship. I didn't plan on opening it right there, but that page flipped open real quick. I guess that message needed to get out as the frame of reference. So when he's having this thoughtful walk down, the people around see him coming, and they know this thoughtful person who speaks like that and thinks like that and feels like that. So they put down their work and they walk with him toward the ocean to say farewell and also to ask first for him to stay. And Almitra, the seer woman, a prophetess, priestess, if you will, comes out of the temple and meets all the people there in the square. And she speaks for them and asks Al-Mustafa As we wait, will you share with us what you've observed? And that's where, you know, we come into the poems of the subsequent chapters. So now we're a little bit more than halfway through. And a woman spoke, saying, "Tell us of pain." And he said, "Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so must you know pain. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. And you would accept the seasons of your heart, even as you have always accepted the seasons that pass over your fields. And you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. Much of your pain is self-chosen. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust the physician and drink his remedy in silence and tranquility. For his hand, though heavy and hard, is guided by the tender hand of the unseen. And the cup he brings, though it burn your lips, has been fashioned by the clay which the potter has moistened with his own sacred tears." On pain, Khalil Gibran from The Prophet. I'm Dream Queen. Please follow me on social media. Join the conversation. You can find In the Cab Radio on Facebook, on Instagram, and at Linktree, as all the links, YouTube as well. All these places I could get a little note from you. Sharing the conversation. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Yeah, this is, sometimes I get into these and it feels a little bit like obvious. But let's just contextualize this for a minute here. I know that I personally am quite hard-headed. I don't know about you. But sometimes, you know, we take things for granted. And it takes a bit of a burn to fully understand. But I'm going to skip all the way down to some notes that I took earlier, because that'll help put this first sentence, say what I want to say with it. And that's about compassion. And it ties it into the larger conversation of what's going on in the world today. And I often say that it seems to me like we're all on different pages about our understanding in the big class of Earth School. And I often joke from some sort of high and mighty place that I don't really like to be in, that I'm in a position to help people understand something, right? But I also am quite aware of my own ignorance and what it takes for me to learn a lesson. And I believe we have to maintain grace with ourselves. When we give ourselves grace first, we can extend it to others. Because much like pain, love, when we feel these characteristics of love, then we can have an understanding of what it feels like and what we want to help other people feel like. But it's a tricky road where one may trip. Trippy. But you know, I'm getting out of here, I'm like, why? Why? Why is there all of this suffering? Why do we have to take one, two steps forward and a giant leap backward. Why do we have just this great lapse, gap, as Dr. King would call it, between our technological know-how and our morals? Why is there this huge lag that you can go to outer space, but people can't get clean water to drink? Greed. Okay. But why? I mean, why can't the greedy understand? And I just don't know. But we watch unravel, like, the pain all around us. Would life be better if we were all doing the same thing? I don't know. But I know that the more that I understand and the more that I see, what is that helps me develop more compassion, because then I can have an understanding. And I hate to harp on the TikTok thing, okay? But I am, because a lot of us are in our own bubbles, in our own lives, and when we don't look out and see what other people are going through in their own words, that's why storytelling is so important, is we can't fully put ourselves in someone else's shoes. You know, and I remember, I don't remember because I wasn't there in the 60s. Well, at least, you know, and not in this body. But, you know, speaking on this, I'm about to go on a little tangent here. I'm already there. Black History Month. Okay, just bear with me. Everything's connected. You know, when we're taking off and setting precedents, that why do they need a Black History Month? We don't have White History Month or whatever. So we have to understand that why we needed a Black History Month, why we still need it, and an Indigenous Heritage Month, and everybody's every day. Because you know what? Scrap it. Take it. Take it off. And we'll just do our thing every single day. That's what I do on Saturdays anyway. You know? Take it off. We'll do it every day. You don't want that every day. Right? Why? Because it's a reminder of how far we've come in this country. When I was saying I remember in the 60s, I remember being a kid in the 80s and they had on PBS, you know, we're really starting to do the Black History specials. And it was like, you know, you see people saying, like, things weren't moving. It was hard to get a collective compassion for people of color in America until folks saw on TV the dogs, the hoses on children, and the vileness of the white supremacists yelling the things and hitting people and hurting people and dragging people who were just sitting and beating. And then, you know, the same thing continued on the visuals from Vietnam War. And when they show these images and they have people talking in their own voices, then public opinion begins to shift. Because what I say a lot, I think most people want compassion and equity and fairness in the world. Now, how we deal with powerlessness and lovelessness, that's where there's a you know, the dissonance happens, because we have to balance a whole quite a few things in order for true equity. You know, you have to stop seeing me as a threat. You have to stop seeing DEI as a threat, when really what it is something that was put in place because this country has been corrupt. It's not just any person off the street automatically gets XYZ. Come on, y'all. We all live in America. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Some people do. But it's not anybody off the street. Nepotism exists. Good old boys clubs exist in every layer of society, in every industry, in government or private. They hire friends and cousins and brothers. And, you know, so that's going on. But the reason we had things like diversity, equity, and inclusion and Black History Month is because there's people here who run this place who don't want us to have compassion for each other. They don't want us to feel each other's pain and have this conversation. So this is where TikTok came in. Because when folks started seeing actual images of what other people's real lives are like in real time, in Palestine namely, then we start having images coming in from all kinds of neighborhoods in the United States, all kinds of, you know, this is especially starting during TikTok. Now you've got everybody mad at the trans people. Why? Because visibility started and public opinion started to ease and say, man, these people are human beings that are like me or like my children, compassionate beings that have an understanding of what's going on with their own bodies and their own minds. Not everybody came over to any old side. I mean, you know, but I'm saying that I support incremental change. Nobody here expects people to just we do take giant leaps, but we also have to just take it all as it comes. Any step forward toward compassion and an understanding of each other's situation and plight to allow us to live in harmony on the planet, I'm good with that. So the pain being the breaking of the shell that encloses our understanding is quite simple, but it's also that shell is the shell that surrounds our minds and our hearts. And that is rough. It's soft stuff in there. Soft stuff inside that shell. Bone, right? Like stone fruit. We studied bell hooks and her reference to M. Scott Peck's Road Less Traveled in All About Love, New Visions. We talk, she refers to Scott Peck's definition of love. And this next quote from this Khalil Gibran has me thinking about that same book. And it says, and could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life? Your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life? Scott Peck refers to, in that I believe it's a chapter on grace or gratitude. Y'all know how many things could go wrong in our lives at any moment. Any moment. And it's a miracle that it doesn't. Every time you get in your vehicle and you do anything, drive down the street, the rate at which the probability, you know, it's staggering how many miracles just being here is. And I think I understand that we have to stay in gratitude and accept the seasons of our heart. Ugh, I can't. You know what I am stuck is that those every plane crash and fire and the train that caught on fire, the other day, yesterday. Good Lord. It's a miracle. And then people still getting on planes, you know, and that's cool. Now we have a bunch of people getting fired who are in charge of the safety on the planes. But I guarantee you, I'll bet you $100,000 there's people driving to the airport right now to take that chance. Bless them. Bless them. Accept the miracle of your daily life. Woo! Wow. It's rough being a sensitive, y'all. These images pop in and then I have to tamp that down. Yeah. Blessings to all the people that are suffering these days. Nobody was hurt in that train fire. Just to put that out there. Nobody was hurt, but it was a commuter train and just the fire just broke out. I saw the pictures just billowing through the windows, you know. We all need to stay safe and love each other. Life is too short and you just don't know what's around the bend. So, on pain. You know, the reason why people don't like spiritual leaders, I'll tell you right now. Because he wants us to watch with serenity through the winters of our grief. Who's got all this serenity? I know. I hear you out there. A friend of mine was talking to me yesterday about the serenity prayer. I know. It's rough, though. It is really tough. It is really tough. And then you turn around and say that much of your pain is self-chosen. I mean, you know, these writers and orators and thinkers, they just go around slapping people in the face and sounding all basic. Don't tell me my pain is self-chosen when I'm looking out the window at the world, into the window of the screen, into other people's lives, just like I'm talking about having my old stone fruit heart cracked open like the Grinch. I didn't choose that. I didn't choose war and suffering and supremacy and violence and the rolling back of human rights and people being cool with people starving and being bombed. I didn't choose that. So then they take it to the next level and some of them will say, well, you chose to incarnate on this planet. I don't know. I've had that conversation with my higher self. I'm not going to share it with you right now, but, you know, it's interesting to think about how we're here or where we came from. A lot of us are trying to figure that out because we're like, why would I choose to show up on this planet? As some would say, there's a whole song about it. Earth is ghetto. I don't want to come here to this suffering. Only people with money can really enjoy it. And even they seem miserable a lot of times, you know? So don't sit here, Khalil Gibran, and tell me that my pain is self-chosen. But as Sadhguru mentioned, I told y'all about that podcast I heard him on the other day. We're here to ask questions. And sometimes pausing the feels to consider logic. Right? Reason and Passion was last week. So I'm going to say, hey, okay, I'm going to come out of my feelings of the pain and take a look at what the Eastern mystics have to say about being seated in my higher consciousness and being a witness not only to the world, but to myself and my reactions. What if I did choose? Because in a way, oh man, wow, something just broke out. It must be 9:45. So, okay, all right then. So what if I chose this by choosing to be conscious, huh? How about that? Take all the metaphysics out of it and just come into the fact that my pain is self-chosen in the sense that If you ask any of these GOP people, I chose to be woke. Huh? I don't have to be woke. I don't have to be conscious. I can turn it off, tone it down, just like Nicole Willis said the other day. You don't like it, turn it off. Right? But that's the problem. You can't. It's hard to go back to sleep. Anybody seen The Matrix? That's just the most basic understanding of it. You can't go back to sleep. So, yeah, okay. I chose to be compassionate and to see. So therefore, I'm stuck. I'm not stuck. I have a different way to deal with this now. It's the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. I had the nerve to get on here last week and call us all sick. Well, here this is. I hadn't read that. Also, as I was editing the show, it'll be up soon. And I said, you know, I don't want to say sick. I want to say we're in dis-ease. Okay. And then I also did get myself sick for several days. Some sinus infection and a digestive issue. Digesting things, right? And it forced me to take some time off and sit with myself and pick apart some pain, because we were on the radio last week and was talking about that Pisces stellium, talking about all of the things coming down the pike politically and personally, and then the wheels ground to a halt and I had to sit with myself and unpack my pain. It's a continuous daily process, but sometimes, as y'all know, when you get hit with the illness and you can't be around people, remember, I felt very much like a COVID for a second, you know, just stuck with myself. And that's a powerful time, because I had to be with my higher self, that physician within me, and drink his remedy in silence and tranquility, which is a challenge. But when you're tired and you're ill, you don't have any choice but to be silent. It's hard. I know, y'all. There's just different things to think about. So, I guess thanks for being here with me while I try to understand how the witness of collective pain may be self-chosen, because I see a lot of people, I even talk about willful ignorance. So I guess I did, you know. We choose it all. So though that physician's hand, we're at the last couple of lines here, it's heavy and hard, is guided by the tender hand of the unseen, that's with a capital U, and the cup he brings, our higher self, though it burn your lips, has been fashioned by the clay which the potter, that's with a capital P, has moistened with his capital H own sacred tears. I mean, I'm just going to real quickly, because I have a couple songs I want to leave on. We talked in the beginning, sometimes sprinkle in, about Khalil Gibran's spiritual lineage or understandings. He studied many and grew up Christian and in a Muslim country before he immigrated with his family to the United States. And he a learned man. And so I tied this back to the Christian understanding of God, because I've been reading some other works by Gibran, and I think his Christianity sat with him quite a bit. And I think about his own sacred tears. I think about a God that feels. I think about when we see Jesus cry. You know, my grandmother's favorite thing, she'd be like, what's the shortest line in the Bible? Just pop quiz. I don't know, Grandma. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. So it is that. the example, my note here that I came up with in the last few was ways we are like a perception of an imperfect God. If certain ideals are based on man's concept, then we are overall wrong about God. God is all and nothing. God force versus Christ or Krishna consciousness. You tell me if you understand my note. No, but it's true. You know, a lot of mythology is framed, you know, a lot of religion is framed around mythology and stories that are passed down, whether they be about real beings, Anunnaki or whomever, celestial beings or giants or just an orb of energy or all of it at the same time. It's about identifying how we can be our best selves and really have compassion and also have no complete understanding, except that we have a choice in how we want to show up. And that's point blank punchline, is we choose how we're going to show up here. And I like the God stories. You know, you always see people have to appeal to a conscious God to ask for help and guidance. I mean, some people tap into the celestial vibe that covers everything and try to vibrate at a higher frequency or light frequency or sound frequency. And we all felt those frequencies that you don't even have to say something sometimes. Just your heart moves and you feel emotion. Your heart gets cracked open. I will never stop pointing out, as long as I'm doing this show, that those fools in the 80s call for hearts and minds. Don't give yours up. That's what they want. My mom reminded me the other day of the situation she was in when Ronald Reagan was pulling this mess, and about her 2-year-old baby that she had and her government job that she lost, and how she didn't lose her baby or her car or her apartment. She pushed through. So who knows why some of us are chosen and we make it, because some of the people try just as hard and don't make it, okay? But the objective is to make it. And I love you, appreciate you. Let not your heart be troubled. In the Cab Radio is produced by Jada White, aka Dream Queen. Original theme music produced by Baby Weekend Boys and Icky Mac the Beat Jugular. Learn more at In the Cab Radio at Linktree. Thank you so much for tuning in.